Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say he don't have his glasses. Somebody say he don't have his glasses, but it's all right. I see you laughing at me, Brother Rick. Yeah, it's becoming kind of normal. Amen. You got him? Well, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. While we're doing this, you can get your Bibles open to the book of John, the 15th chapter. Amen. I want you to get your minds and your hearts in a worship attitude so that God can bless you this morning and encourage you, because everybody's going through something. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just as important as the person that stubs their toe. Amen. And worship brings us into a place with God so that we can hear what he has to say to us, to minister to us, to encourage us. Sometimes you have to be able to encourage yourself. And a lot of times the only way you can do that is through the word of God. And the word of God will speak to your mind, and it will speak to your heart. It'll speak to your spirit. To let you know that everything isn't going to be okay, but God has already made it okay. So what do? We have faith in our confidence and our trust in him. And we believe that whatever problems we have, God is more than able to bless us in them, because it said his grace is more than sufficient. Amen. So come on, just lift your hands and worship the Lord with us this morning. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speaks, would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speaks. Hallelujah. Come on and worship him this morning. We praise you. We adore you. Yes. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be heard, and in the quiet times to hear your voice. So word of God speaks, would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. Would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty,
to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
To be still
and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speaks. Would you fall down like rain, washing my to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Oh, would you fall down like rain?
Morning, as we lay down our lives for each other and we focus on those things which are important, those things which we do for you. Lamb of God, let the Shekinah glory of God flow forth in this place, ministering to our minds and to our hearts and to our souls, bringing us to a place of repentance and a place of strength and a place of power. So, Father, have your way in our lives, moved by your Spirit, on the abundance and the authority of your word. For Father, we know that there is nothing impossible unto you. So there, Father, we pray that you will stir up the gift of God within us, bringing our faith to levels far beyond that we ever could expect. So Father, here we are today in your presence, glorifying your wonderful name and magnifying you, because you are King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords, and there's none greater than you are. You're our Jehovah Jireh, our great Elohim. You're our mighty God. You're the wheel in the middle of a wheel. You are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Tiskadu, the Jehovah Imgadesh. You are all of the names. You are the Jesus that we bow down to. Father, we praise you this morning for moving by your Spirit. Lord God, touch every mind that's spoken. Touch every heart that's been torn up. Touch every soul that's disturbed. Touch every body that's broken down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you today. We thank you for moving by your Spirit, Lord God. Operate by your anointing, Father. We praise you. Word of God, speak. Would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles open to the book of John in the 15th chapter and the 11th verse, we'll be floating between 11, 16, 17, and 5 and 6. It's important that we understand all week God has been dealing with me about focus. What should our focus be? And somehow or another, through the circumstances and the trials of this life, we've allowed our focus to be changed. Or even our focus has diminished on that which God has set into our lives. And God was dealing with me yesterday as we were on our way to Canada. God was dealing with me about friendships. We've lost our focus on friendships and how important they are. When there's trouble, you find out who your friends are. Amen. And when things are going great, you find out who you think your friends are. Nevertheless, you're going to find out something. In this book, in the 10th verse, says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. What's the most important word there? Is the word love, that we abide in the love of God. The love of God is agape, which means the love that he's talking about doesn't have any conditions on it. It's unconditional. That means you love regardless, and you love in spite of. You love because it's the power of God through you. See, what folks fail to realize, the love is his power. The love is his authority. The love is his ability. The love represents the kingdom and the nature of God. That's why he says, if you keep my commandments or you keep my statutes, ye shall abide in my love. Because then you'll do the things that God has put before you, and you'll pray for those that despitefully use you. You know, you'll encourage them that discourage you. You'll love them that hate you. You just do it. Just comes natural to you because you're trying to keep the laws of God and walk according to God's statutes. But we've gotten so caught up in emotionalism and our feelings that we've forgotten what God has called us to. One thing we've learned, I bowl a lot. One thing I've learned in bowling, you never make an adjustment off of a bad shot. If you make an adjustment off of a bad shot, then you continue to do what? Make bad shots. You don't make adjustments off of emotionalism. You make adjustments out of the wisdom of God, and that's all you can do. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus says, no different from you. If I have to abide in my Father's love, then you've got to abide in it. You've got to abide in an unconditional love. You're not hearing me. What that means is that you can't pick out who you want to love. Huh? You can't love somebody because they dress the way you like the way they dress. You can't love somebody because they wear the kind of cologne that you like. You can't love somebody because they sing good. You have to love them regardless of their stature in life or what they don't have or what they do have. You have to love them because it's one of the what? Commandments of God. It's one of the laws of God. And I'm finding out in this end time, it's much harder to love people today than it was before. Because people have gotten tripped out, flipped out, dipped out, and whipped out. And they can flip the script on you in a moment's notice. One moment you think you're talking to Jekyll, and the next second you're talking to Hyde. And you have to be fast on your feet to decide that, do I love Hyde or do I love Jekyll? Well, the word of God is saying the love of God is unconditional, so you've got to love Hyde as much as you love Jekyll. Y'all don't hear me this morning. We play with the love of God. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You've got to walk in this type of love in order for the joy of the Lord to remain in you and that your joy may be full, that his joy might remain in you. What is the joy of the Lord? It's strength. You need strength. You got hell attacking you from above, hell attacking you from below, hell attacking you from both sides. You need strength when it comes to God. You cannot make it and do this thing on your own. You've tried already and it didn't work. So it comes to a place where you've got to depend on God. And he said, you need my joy to remain in you. And if my joy remains in you, your joy might be made what? Full. And what's so good about your joy being made full means that in the midst of your trouble, you'll have strength to stand. When your circumstances seem to overwhelm you, you'll have the strength to stand. When problems seem to try to beat you down, you'll have strength to do what? To stand. When things not going the way you want them to go, you'll still have strength to do what? To stand. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is full in your life. And if the joy of the Lord is full, meaning that it encompasses every part of your being, your mind, your soul, and your body, that means that you have strength to overcome every situation. That's what makes you more than an overcomer. Not just an overcomer, but more than an overcomer. It's the joy of Jesus in your life that makes you, gives you that additive of more. You just can't be an overcomer anymore. There's too many things happening. You got to be more than an overcomer. Whereas when the wind hits you, you got to be able to say, okay, I've been hit, I'm going to keep going. A lot of times you don't have umbrellas when you're caught in the rain. And you don't have a hat. So you have to make the decision. Do I stand here where it's not raining, or do I go where I have to go? That means when there's trouble, you have to do what you have to do nevertheless. Can't nobody make you do it. You got to decide on your own what you want from God and what you want God to do from you. And you can listen to preachers and you can listen to pastors and you can listen to evangelists and you can listen to apostles and you can listen to teachers, and it ain't going to do you a bit of good until you find out for yourself. Hallelujah. This is my commandment, that ye love. What does it say? That you do what? I can't hear you. That you love one another. That don't mean you love yourself. We already know you do that. But to love one another. What did it say about love? It's what? Unconditional. That you love one another. You know what I found out about love? Love does not judge. The love of God does not hate. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. The love of God is not emotional. It's steadfast, unmovable, and it's always abounding in the work of God. The love of God is so important that it'll put you in a place where God will see just how much love of God you have in you. A lot of folks are failing today because they don't have that real love. They have that filial love, that feeling love that you can turn on and turn off. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now that's important, for say, because if you look at the way Jesus loved us, that means that in order to love us the way that the Father wanted him to love us, he had to do something. And in order to love us, he could have just loved us by walking in the earth, but he had to do something that was beyond him in order to show us the real love that he had for us. That meant that he had to die. That was the only way that he would be able to show us the love of the Father that God actually had for us, and that was for him to die. Well, since he said, these things that I do, you shall do also, and even greater, that means that somebody got to. Now, don't go out and blow your brains out or jump in front of a speeding vehicle. That means that you got to die out to some things that separate you from the love of God. If hatred is separating you from the love of God, you need to get a hold of it. Envy and jealousy and judgmental spirits is separating you from the love. You need to bring them under subjection to the power of God. I keep telling you, hell is widening itself, enlarging itself. Hell was never meant for saints. But because we've decided that we'd rather not love our brothers and our sisters, God is making room for us. Some of us. A few of us. A lot of us. Greater love, this is my commandment, that ye love, agape, one another, as I have loved you. That's a deep love. How can you love someone else the way Jesus loved you? How can you do it without actually dying for them? I mean, actually dying. Dying in their place. Someone's dying of leukemia, you die for them. You take the leukemia. Somebody's dying of cancer, you take the cancer and die for them. Somebody has some kind of sickness that's incurable, you take it and die for them. How can you actually lay down your life for someone without actually dying physically for them? Oh, Brother Tim, I think it has something to do with holding your peace. It's quiet in this house. Anybody here? Yes, 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 yes. Have loved you. Greater love. Somebody say greater.
Greater.
Have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, first word we need to find out is, who are our friends? Folks laughing, but that's for real. The Greek dictionary says, your friends are them whom you love. So if your friends are those whom you love, and you've already picked out who you want to love, my God, you can't have very many friends. The Bible says love all men as Christ has loved himself. But if you've decided who you want to love, then you're real short on friends. And for the reality of the matter is, that's the situation today. That the church has picked out whom they want to love, and that's why we are so friendless. Because we can't trust one another. The Bible says don't put your confidence in the arm of flesh. But it didn't say you don't have to be bothered with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is trying to teach us something here. He said, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life or put his life to death for his friends. What does life represent? Life represents your status in life, or your way of living, or your way of life, or things that you hold it dearest and important to you. Sometimes you have to put that aside in order to yield yourself to someone that needs help. Sometimes you got to lend a listening ear when you don't feel like listening. Sometimes you have to pray for the sick when you're sick yourself. Sometimes you have to give when you don't have to give. Sometimes you have to go places that you don't want to go in order that others might be blessed. That means you're laying down your life. That means when you lay down your life, you're actually telling yourself, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because of the word of God. Father, I don't want to go there, but I'm going to go because of the word of God. Father, I don't want to sow, but I'm going to sow because of the word of God. Father, I don't feel like listening because I'm hurting myself, but I'm going to listen because of the love of God. Because no man has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. Your friends are those whom you love. If you love your friends when they have a need, then you sit and you listen and you encourage. It don't mean you throw stuff back at them all the time, but it means sometimes that you listen to hear what they're going through. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. How many heard that? Ye are my friends. God is trying to bring us to a place where we move not according to our feelings or our emotions, but we move according to the word of God. Too many lives have been lost and destroyed and fallen by the wayside because of emotionalism. T.D. Jakes wrote a book called Emotions. How many ever read it? It's about the emotions of men. It's a deep book. But it lets you know that you can't be moved by your emotions. That's why the Bible also says, cast down every imagination that would do what? Exalt itself. What is imaginations translated into? Reasonings. Cast down all the reasonings that would cause you to do what? Separate yourself from the love of God. When you separate yourself from friendships, you separate yourself from the love of God. It's important in this last day, whether you realize it or not, you are all that you have. You are all you have. So why not go the extra mile and yield yourself, submit yourself to the word and to the power of God, and let God lead you in the direction you need to be led in. Because God's going to cause you to love folks that hate you. And there's a whole lot of folks that hate you for some of the silliest reasons. But that doesn't mean anything to God. He could care less. He wants you to love them anyway. Jesus, look at what Jesus went through. Jesus was beaten. How many in here been beaten? Well, some folks. Glory. I need to see y'all after service. Oh my God. I'm afraid to ask his other question. How many folks been spit on? How many folks are still standing? How many folks didn't spit back? See, the love of God, man. I bet this ain't happening. How many folks had their backs ripped to pieces by a cat of nine tails? I want to see somebody stand up now. There are things that you're going to go through that's going to pressure your mind. When they put that crown of thorns on Jesus' head, it was to pressure his mindset. When they nailed those things in his hands, it was to defeat his works. When they nailed his feet to the cross, it was to destroy his walk. But in all of that, nothing had the ability to destroy him because his focus was intent on the love of God. He was determined that he was going to let the love of God flow through him regardless of whatever it was that they did to him. When they beat him, they spat upon him, they did all these things. He never opened his mouth to make an accusation, an accurate word. He never complained, whined, or bellyached about nothing he went through. Because his focus was that this thing I must do for my Father. You have to make up in your mind that you got to love people for the love of the Father and not for yourself. You got to let yourself know that I'm going to make it. I'm not going to let anyone discourage me. I'm not going to let anyone tear me down. I'm not going to let anyone make me not think that God is not who he is. I'm not going to let anyone tell me that I can't be healed. No one's going to tell me I can't be delivered. No one's going to tell me I can't be set free. You have to keep your focus in the things of God and understand whatever God has for you is for you. And can't nobody take it from you. They can't steal it from you. They can't talk you out of it. So you have to stand on the promises of God. Greater love no man has than to lay down his life for those whom he call his friends. We call folks our friends, but when they need us, it's like whistling in the wind. But I'm excited, Sister Diane, because God is raising up a new body of people. This is a new season, whether you want to get involved in it or not. God is moving in a totally different way than what he moved before. Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and ever. Yeah, but he moves in diverse manners. God is raising up people that you never heard of. God is touching people and anointing people that you never thought could be anointed, because there's a work that's got to be done in the earth, and it's got to be done through the love of God. You know what gets people saved? It's the love of God. You know what encourages people? It's the love of God. You know what gets people healed? It's the love of God. You know what strengthens people? It's the love of God. Anything you want to see done in somebody's life, it's got to be done through the love of God. Why? Because you laid down your life. I'm hurting, but I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. I got trouble, but I'm going to believe God's going to deliver you. My mind is vexed, but I'm going to believe God's going to set your mind free. Whatever you're going through, I may not have no finances, but I have faith to believe that God's going to bless your wallet. God's going to bless your wallet. I'm not going to be moved by my circumstances. Only thing that's going to move me is the power and the word of God. So therefore, if God said it, then I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to walk in it, because I know that God cannot lie and he will not repent. Therefore, if God's spoken into your life, you got to stand on the promises of God. Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Oh, let's stop there. What kind of fruit you bringing forth? Huh? Apricots, oranges, grapes, pomegranates, nuts. And that ain't even a fruit. What kind of fruit are you bringing forth? The word of God says that he did this that you might bring forth fruit. What brings forth fruit? Love. You ever watched a person that has a vineyard? You ever watched them? You ever watched the love that they have for those fruit trees? People that have fruit trees in their yard, and they love those fruit trees. Almost love them more than they love their family. Every time you look at them, they're out there pruning and tearing up and digging up and talking to that tree and making sure that tree, just mesmerized by that tree. Loving on that tree and praying for the tree and laying hands on it to bring forth fruit. Why? Because it's important that we understand that it's your obligation, it's your duty to make sure you don't just bring forth fruit, but the people that you are involved with bring forth fruit. Jesus said the love of God will cause you to bring forth. Love brings forth. If you find a person that loves their plants more than another person, most likely the person that's putting all that love into those plants, their plants will be green and healthy. Y'all don't hear me. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I ordained you. I placed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you have asked of the Father in my name, ye may give unto you. What is he saying? That your fruit may remain. When folks come against you, when you go through things, that the love of God is not shattered or destroyed in your life, but that it might remain. See, it talks about the love. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the mercy, the long-suffering, the faith. All these things it talks about, but the first and most important of all these is what? Love. Why? Because out of every grace comes out of love, peace comes out of love, joy comes up out of love, faith comes out of love, long suffering comes out of love. Everything comes out of love. So if you manifest the love of God, your fruit shall be full. If you manifest the love of God, you will find out that you can almost love the impossible. Like Brother Sean over there. I love Sean. He always sleep on me, though. He says he's listening, and I believe him. But it would help every now and then if his head wasn't knocking. So see, I love Sean, so I let him sleep in hopes that he is hearing something. And he knows I love him. That's why he looks up and grins at me no matter what I say to him. He's just going to go back to sleep. I kind of prefer him being asleep. Then he can't get in nothing. I love you, Sean. The reality of the love that God is trying to get us to understand is that it's going to cost you something. The love of God will cost you more than you're willing to give up. But you have to make a choice to give it up and have what God has for you. It's up to you to decide. And only you can decide what God's going to do in your life. And that's what we have to realize. The love of God is greater than anything you could possibly go through. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And what folks don't realize, he's not asking you. He's not asking you to love one another. The word says he commands you. He commands you to love one another. So when you don't do what he commands you to do, let's put it like this. I don't know about your mothers and fathers, but when my mother told us to do something, it was commandment. It was the law of the land. It was a commandment. And then if you didn't obey that commandment, you paid the consequences. Dearly. You paid the consequence till she just got too tired and couldn't hit you no more. And every now and then she'd go and sit down for a second, Brother Rick, and get energetic and get up and want to find you again. So what do we do? If you treat God like that, how do you think he's going to treat you? If you don't obey his commandment, what do you think God has in store for you? You can blame old Slewfoot all you want. But you will find out that we create our own circumstances and situations by the things that we do and the things we say. And God has given us a chance to rectify it. Everybody stand. Brother Rodney, we need to get that clock changed. Thank you, sir. I like my brother Rodney. I just say something, he just go, okay. It's the love of God, saints. Whatever you're going through, the love of God conquers a multitude of sin. Sin has translated the old nature. There's a love that's in you. It's already in you. All you got to do is let it come forth. The reason a lot of folks won't let the love of God come forth because they think it makes them look silly. Because it takes you out of your comfort zone. If you mean as a batty rooster, you most certainly don't want the love of God to come forth in your life because you think it'll make you look weak. But you have no idea how strong it really makes you. But today, we're going to have an altar call. Because some of us are going through some things and dealing with some things with hatred and envy and strife and conflict that we need God to help us with. And unless God intervenes, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. And that's our visitation from him. And how many here don't want to miss what God has for you? Amen. I'm determined I'm not going to miss out on what God has for me. Amen. So if you want us to pray, I want you to come down front. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Oh, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe, will I be still? Will I stand in your presence? Will I still fall at your knees? Will I sing hallelujah? I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. Come on and lift your hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. Well, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Will I stand in me still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I only imagine. Yeah. I only imagine. Ooh. Yeah. I only imagine. I only imagine. Father, we thank you today for this group of wonderful people that are down here. Lord God, that admit by being here that they need your help today. So, Father, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to help them, and you're going to supply and meet their every need in riches and glory. Whether it be healing or deliverance, whether it be peace of mind or joy in their hearts, you're going to meet the need. Father, I thank you today for moving by your Spirit. Hallelujah. I want everyone to repeat after me with your hands lifted. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done. But Lord, I know that you are forgiver of all things. And you judges no man. So here I am, Father, submitting myself unto thee. Cleanse me, deliver me, save me, set me free. Prepare me for a greater life. Prepare me for a blessed life. Prepare me for a peaceful life. Prepare me for a joyful life. And I thank you, Lamb of God, for hearing my prayer this day in Jesus' name. I can only imagine what it will be like when I stand by your side.
Oh, I can only imagine what it will be when I sleep.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, surrounded by your glory, what will I see? Will I stand for you, Jesus? Or in awe, fall to my knees? Will I? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hey, oh, I can only imagine. Hey, yes, I can only imagine. Father, I thank you. Oh, I can only imagine. Hey, I can only imagine. Oh, what will I do? Forever loving you, I can only imagine. Hey, I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Change some things around for you. You're tired of the situation and you're tired of the circumstances and you only talk to just a few. But I hear you, you know what? Folks don't understand, but I see you in the midnight hour when you by yourself crying out to God, telling him, Lord, if you really are a God, help me with this because I can no longer handle this on my own. And God told me to tell you, dear, that he heard you when you cried out, because we're convinced that God don't hear us when we cry because we're not where we think we should be. But God said he hears us when we cry, and he heard you when you cried out. And you watch some things change around for you. You watch some circumstances fall to the ground that you can stand up on. This is a new season and a new hour for you. Hey, yes. Oh,